This is CliffCentral.com.
Just compromise.
And Anthony's got a brand new book out, which you can get at any good bookstore.
Indeed.
You can also order it
isn't
online.
There, then it's not a good bookstore.
Exactly.
Shun that store.
And if you're free on Thursday evening, we're doing the launch at Exclusive Books in Hyde Park.
Very nice.
At 6 p.m.
Very
Look
good.
At you promoting.
How am I doing? Yes. You see it? Good. You approve?
Excellent. This is much better than what you were doing up to now.
Yes, I got a lecture last week about this from a certain Cliff Central.
All right, let's talk about the two Japanese oil tankers in the Strait of Hormuz. We spoke about this a little bit earlier on in terms of the oil price and this possible petrol price decrease, which is very interesting. I don't know whether the AA took into consideration what's going on in world affairs, because I think, actually, petrol price may go up.
So I think this attack of the Japanese oil tankers by the Iranians is definitely an event and a catalyst for a higher oil price, because the oil was up 4% a barrel immediately after the attack. But actually, you know what? It doesn't change the supply-demand dynamics of oil at all. And in fact, what we're seeing is quite the opposite, where there's quite a bit of supply. So since then, the oil price has retreated. Brent crude is now trading at $60.90 a barrel, and at almost a $10 premium to WTI. So I think there might still be a good case for a decrease in the petrol price. What you did see, though, is markets were really nervous about just stability and war possibilities and this sort of thing. So we saw lots of traders moving immediately into yen. Japanese yen, can you believe that is still a safe haven currency? I mean, I don't know how that happens, honestly. And then gold, which is this crazy lingering historic feature, I think. You know, it's not like you can
You've
eat
never
gold.
Liked gold.
I've never liked Yeah, it's, I have a thing against it.
You don't like
it
gold.
Makes no fundamental investment sense to me. Hmm. And that's the problem. I know what drives it. So I know that people think that if there's going to be a war, buy gold and we'll convert it to currency later at a later stage. And when it's the Indian wedding season, you'll always see at the beginning of October, November, there's a spike in the gold price because they buy huge amounts of gold.
Oh, really?
Mm. It's every single year. It's fabulous to watch. But the fundamental investment case for it, I struggle with it. Anyway, we saw those ultra-safe government bonds, yen, gold, all increase, and all the traders run to that last week on this attack. I mean, unfortunately for Sasol, they didn't take advantage of it, or the share price doesn't seem to have taken advantage of it. Like when oil was up 5%, Sasol was up 10 basis points,
why is Sasol just, they used to be a very forward-thinking, smart, technologically advanced business. They were turning
they were turning
coal into gas and all kinds of interesting things. Now they're almost a bit of a wart on the economy. You know, they kind of just sit there and languish. They don't do very much.
Unfortunately,
who's
in the
running
last,
that place?
In the I can't remember his name.
Well, that's probably part of the problem.
But one of them had to resign recently. One of the big guys had to resign because of this Lake Charles methane plant in the US.
Mm-hmm.
And they've just got such a bad reputation of having projects over budget and delayed. And then it just costs. So when you work out, when you decide to do a project in the beginning, you go, okay, it's going to cost me $100. And I'll spend the $100. And if I sell X amount of product, I'll make back my $100 in 2 years, right? But then if the project costs $200, then it's going to take you 4 years. And if you don't sell as much, maybe it'll take you 5 or 6 years. So your IRR, we call it your rate of return, your internal rate of return that we calculate on these projects, suddenly goes from kind of, oh, look, we're going to make, as long as this project lasts, maybe, I don't know, 30, 40% per annum. But the more you delay it, the more you spend on it, the less product you sell out of it, the lower this IRR. And suddenly it's like, well, actually, was this a good investment case or not? And in Sasol's case, you know, so Lake Charles, for example, they told us it was going to cost 3 billion dollars. It's come out at 14 almost. And it's been delayed by years. And now suddenly you're thinking, well, was that really worth it? Anyway, and that's the problem with Sasol. So I think when the oil price jumps and Sasol doesn't, it's just a case of investors being nervous about Sasol and actually not believing them. And in my case, I thought, oh, maybe I should buy some Sasol shares. But I actually just sat there and thought, well, no, because what I really want is for Sasol to prove to me and show me proof, like tangible proof, that they can deliver on time and that they're not going to up the costs of Lake Charles by another $1 billion in the next year or 6 months as they have done in the past.
Right. Sure.
And unfortunately, you know, these trade wars really have continued and have really got the market nervous. And so emerging market shares are under a lot of pressure at the moment. And of course, you know, we're an emerging market, so we fall in line with it. And then, of course, the protests about this extradition law in Hong Kong hasn't helped. And then the upcoming G20, there's a lot of discussion that potentially Donald Trump may interfere. And the Chinese have said to him, can you not interfere, please? And he said, well, I won't. Meanwhile, we're all sitting there going, we're waiting for you to say something at the G20. Like, we just know he's going to.
Yeah, well, I hear all of this, but he's consistently avoided throughout his presidency. It's only, you know, he hasn't finished yet the first term, but he's avoided any attempts at strikes anywhere, any military action. The guy's really, he's a dove by military and imperialist standards. I mean, Obama took like a month or two before he started ordering drone strikes on That's parts true. Of the Middle East. And George W. Bush, before that, we know, started the Afghanistan and Iraq war. You know, you can go back in history. Trump is a pacifist, if nothing else. And we hear this, but, you know, all he's done here is he's antagonized China by forcing them to stop stealing intellectual property or at least pay a price for it with tariffs.
But, Gareth, we've spoken so much about Smoot Hawley, you know, and chastise me for saying, remember Smoot Hawley of 1930? We believe those trade wars is what caused the Great Depression and partly World War II. So just because it's only trade wars doesn't mean it's potentially not going to escalate.
I hate this tariff thing. You know that. Yeah. I think Trump's an idiot for having the tariffs brought in. I think that's destructive and frankly, it's anti-free market, right?
Absolutely.
I don't like it one bit.
And everyone's retaliated. China's retaliated, Europe have retaliated, Mexico. I don't know exactly what happened there. That was a weird one. Well, I'm going to impose tariffs and then I'm not. And then the Mexicans came out a week later and said, yeah, that's because we had discussions 3 weeks ago. You know, like, he's not honest, you know.
We know Trump's not honest. If there's something, that's one thing that's also consistent about him. He's just completely dishonest all the time.
When does his term come to an end? Does anybody know?
He's going to be there for another 4 years after this.
You think so?
Absolutely.
Wow. That's going to be interesting. And then we might even have Boris Johnson in the UK. That's good.
You are going to get Boris Johnson.
I know. It's going to be fun and games, eh? Enough said about that.
Let's come back to here.
Let's talk about mining for a minute.
Okay.
Because the mining sector is just it's a dwarf of what it once was.
Shrinking.
It's an embarrassment, actually. And our country is still so heavily reliant on the mining sector for GDP.
So last week, we had mining production numbers show that mining production fell by 1.5% for the last quarter. And in fact, gold fell by a staggering 19.5%. Gold production fell by 19.5%. I'm not sure if it was last week or the week before. We were overtaken by Ghana as the biggest gold producer on the continent.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Hmm. So we've now been overtaken. We are no longer the largest producer of gold. Okay. But you know, I mean, Ghana is probably the
I was waiting
fastest
for you to confirm.
Growing
I saw
country.
That in the news and I thought, no, unless Anthea says so, I don't believe it. No, I believe you.
Yeah, no, their GDP growth is, I think, about 11% at the moment or something.
Oh, my God.
It's phenomenal. And
this just shows you it's possible. I mean, here's Ghana. They don't have as much as we have. We're just shit at running everything.
And remember, I was there last year.
Yeah.
And there's nothing like a Sandton or a Cape Town waterfall or nothing. and they're doing phenomenally. Granted, their GDP growth is off a low base.
Yeah, but, right? But 11%.
I know, isn't that phenomenal?
We would be thrilled with half of that.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
thrilled.
Sure. Imagine that.
Mm. But it's because of this crap government that we've got, we can't even get to a tenth of that.
And unfortunately, another one of our leading indicators is the business confidence. And that came out last week as well, mm-hmm. unchanged at 28. 50, just for the record, is the neutral.
So it's very negative.
It is. It's possibly one of the lowest. If you look at the graph, we're not. It's not the lowest reading we've had in the last 20 years, but it's probably second or third lowest. So it's there was a reading, I think, of 26 in 94, 96.
Mm-hmm. That's when no one knew what was going on, right?
That's right. So everyone was really nervous. Yeah. That's right. So, of course, business confidence was low and businesses weren't investing in their business because they weren't employing people because they didn't know what was going to happen, right? And then I think again in 2008 or 2009, when people weren't sure of what's going on, it also fell like to 27, somewhere around there. And those were real events. Those were, you can explain it. Our business confidence at this stage should not be this low. So I don't know that people are not trusting the government to be able to create opportunities or to grow the economy or to implement policy certainty, but there's a lot of uncertainty in the markets at the moment. There really is.
All right. Can we quickly talk about NASPAS and shares in general?
Yeah. So there wasn't much in the way of shares last week. NASPAS put out a trading statement saying that their headline earnings per share would increase by between 31% and 33%. There's just no stopping it. And of course, the share price rallied despite Tencent being down on the day that it announced. And in fact, there's not much to say about it because NASPAS are only releasing their full results this Friday, which is always a bit of a drama because we feel like we need a whole week to digest it. And then I think also the shares rallying ahead of their listing in Amsterdam. So they announced 2 weeks that they're listing in Amsterdam. So what we've been saying in the past is that they should unlock value. You know, so first there was MultiChoice and how they're going to unbundle all the businesses. What about Tencent? Because their 31% stake in Tencent is now worth the entire market cap. So if you add up all the shares and where they're trading, multiply it by where they're trading, the number of shares outstanding, that is lower than just their Tencent holding. So they're holding, their one investment is worth more than the 1.5 trillion rand that it shows on the JSE. So effectively, it should trade up. But because it's such a huge component of the JSE, it makes up 25% of the JSE.
Huge.
So your pension fund basically is a quarter NASPAS, which is shocking. And asset managers like myself, we don't like this. We do not want to be reliant on one share in our portfolio being so heavily weighted. And also, it's been quite volatile recently. So what happens is when it gets to 15 or 20, we sell. You know, we don't want to be more than 10% or 15% in one share only. So
no, it's very dangerous. We know from Steinhoff.
Oh, there you. Oh, talk about. We must talk about Tongaat quickly as well.
Yes, what it does. You did. The canaries were in the coal mine with you early on, Tongaat.
Yes, we mentioned it, and then I went into the office on Monday, and shares were suspended.
There we go.
Anyway, so NASPAS, I think because of this huge weighting in the index, it's actually being held down by being listed in South Africa and South African asset
managers.
How long
before they decide to unlist it here and list it somewhere else?
Ah, such a good question.
Because they're not going to stay. What for? Why must they prop up the whole South African stock exchange? And when that happens, will it be worth investing on the South African stock market at all?
Such a good question, Gareth. I mean, that's really forward thinking. But yeah.
It's so inevitable.
I don't know if it's in a hurry, inevitable, but it does feel a bit like a lot of companies are doing this. I mean, in Steinhoff's case, they went to Germany because, well, they were just up to a whole lot of skullduggery, and it suited them to be listed in a foreign country or have so many different legal entities so that they could move money between it and, you know, nobody could trace it. So if the regulators in South Africa said, but where did this go? They go, Germany. And the German regulators, they'd say, oh, British Virgin Islands. And so it was just like they were playing this game. Okay. NASPAS is not the same. I hope it's not.
Let's see.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that that's likely.
We'll watch this space. Where's Sia? We also have to talk about another company called Beyond Meat. Am I running out of time?
Beyond Meat. But let's just talk Tongaat quickly, okay, and then we get to Beyond Meat.
So Tongaat, last Friday,
last Monday.
You told
us about Beyond Meat. I think it could have been Henry. Yeah. That this is a company that 3D prints artificial meat.
I don't know if it's 3D printed, but they make it from pea protein, soya, mung beans. Okay. The share was up 10% again. So since IPO on the 2nd of May.
Hasn't it been very oversubscribed?
Totally oversubscribed. No. And just a little bit too expensive for my liking. But the share's been up. It's up 550% since the beginning of May, listed. And then yesterday they announced that they're releasing a ground beef. And so the share was up 10%. I mean, there's just no stopping the share. It's ridiculous.
And there, can you report this without rolling your eyes? You're
like, this is good. I reckon that we've got to find alternatives to meat.
I think it is great, I don't know what PE it's trading on at the moment. We should look that up. Google Beyond Meat price earnings ratio and see. But
that's the first time C has ever typed in Beyond Meat Google, you know,
price
earnings ratio on Google. Just quickly, Tongaat Hewlett, and then I want to get to Revix.
Okay. So Tongaat Hewlett, they asked for their shares to be suspended on Monday. So you can no longer buy or sell Tongaat shares on the JSE. And they're now also investigating some of their CEOs. And they're saying that it's not just that they revalued their land at 4.5 billion rand more than they should have, but also that they said they'd sold off a piece of land.
Yeah.
And the money never hit the bank. Now, how the auditors don't pick this up is beyond me.
That's unbelievable.
It's spectacular. I mean, what were they thinking? I can't see the price earnings PE ratio, please.
See, is no good at this.
No, right. Not at all.
All right, Anthea, we'll report that number just now.
All right, super.
But thank you so much. Anthea Gardner and The Money Shot.
This is CliffCentral.com.